Assalamu alaikum.
Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Monet and left foot.
Whoa!
Get the deal.
Another day.
Dabadini.
I take your pain away. Some people talk about you like they know all about you. When you get down, they doubt you. And when you dip it on the thing, yeah, they talking about it. Cause they can't keep on the thing what you talk about.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in our greeting words of peace, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. Well, welcome back to Conscious Black Nation. Thank all of you who have joined us in the chat rooms and on the phones. And we are here to discuss this most timely and intriguing topic, the battle in the sky. And so without further ado, he needs no introduction whatsoever. He is the Vice President of Nation Building Movement. He is the owner, operator, and creator of Kareem Construction, and God knows what else he has going on. But he is my dear brother. He is my dear friend. He is my backbone in this work. So without further ado, Brother Kareem Muhammad from St. Louis. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen. And how are you this evening?
Blessed by Allah's grace. Just thankful to be here.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And I want to thank you for that wonderful, wonderful introduction. I'm gonna give me a couple of minutes. I'm going to go find that brother you were talking about because he sounds like somebody I want to meet. Hang out with maybe, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right. Okay, look in the mirror.
All praises due to Allah. But I need to begin, as always, as I should properly, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and in the name of our divine reminder, in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet you again, Queen Aziza, the listening audience, and our guest, with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
And our topic indeed tonight is the battle in the sky, taken from the article in Message to the Black Man on page 292 entitled The Great Decisive Battle in the Sky. That's where our subject is taken from, and we'll get into that very, very shortly. However, I would like for our guest to present himself so that the audience can know a little bit about you, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, this is Brother Dr. Muhammad Salam. I'm residing in Memphis, Tennessee. And I want my dear brother to know we have met before. I came through and process in St. Louis when the mosque was in the Sears building.
Yes, sir.
And that's going back a ways. You might have still been in the cradle at that time, but but I was there. I started in Mosque 55 and went there under Minister Donald, and I've kind of been around the world since. I'm a believer in truth, and there is but one truth, and that's the truth that is ordained by Almighty God, Allah, and He gave that truth to the same man's name who is in the Bible that Isa called on, Elehi, Elehi, Lama Sabachthani. He said, Elijah, Elijah, why have you forsaken me? But little did we know that Elijah would show up in our time for us. So I'm just glad to be aboard, dear brother.
Well, praise is due to Allah. Well, we're certainly glad to have you, brother. And, yes, I do remember the Sears building.
Yeah, there are some things that could be told there. And some of the brothers that came from East St. Louis, which was in Moss B., but since then, I have got my law degree as an advocate for human rights, and I own a travel agency, and I travel, but there's nothing better to me than giving the lost found the word of freedom, justice, and equality, and that's what I'm all about.
Yes, sir. All praises unto Allah. Well, thank you, brother, and we're going to get right into this. And, of course, Queen Aziza's with us, and hopefully at some point in the show she'll grace us with some of her wisdom.
Oh, yes, sir.
Huh? Oh, man.
Yes, man. Come on now. After all, you know, the great decisive battle in the sky, the battle in the sky does deal with the mother plane, and I'm sure you are a mother, so you got some wisdom.
Ooh.
I'm bearing witness
yeah.
to that.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So, and so anybody that knows how we operate here, Nation Building Movement, on the Nation Building Network, here on Conscious Black Nation, we don't waste any time. We get right into our subject. I do also want to say this before we begin. Everybody that's in the listening audience in the chat room, we would appreciate it if you, even if you're in the chat room, call in. Participation. As I always say, we either participate or we dissipate. So we want to participation because, as it says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst, and that's God speaking. So in order to lay the foundation, we're going to start in the Holy Quran Sharif, starting in Surah or Chapter 40, which is Al-Mumin, the Believer, starting with Ayat of verse 4, going down to Ayat 7, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek refuge in Allah, God, against the accursed shaitan, Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. None dispute concerning the messages of Allah, but those who disbelieve, so let not their control in the land deceive thee. Before them the people of Noah, and the parties after them rejected prophets, and every nation purposed against its messenger to destroy him, and disputed by means of falsehood to render null thereby the truth. So I seized them. How terrible was then my retribution. And thus did the word of our Lord prove true against those who disbelieve that they are the companions of the fire. Those who bear the throne of power and those around it celebrate the praise of their Lord and believe in him and ask protection for those who believe. Our Lord, thou embracest all things in mercy and knowledge. So protect those who turn to thee and follow thy way, and save them from the chastisement of hell. Then Surah, or chapter 53, Ayat verses 53 through 62, in where Allah states, and the overthrown cities he hurled down, so there covered them that which covered. Which then of thy Lord's benefits wilt thou dispute? This is a warner of the warners of old. The near event draws nigh. There is none besides Allah to remove it. Wonder you then at this announcement? And do you laugh and not weep while you sport? So bow down in prostration before Allah and serve him. Then we want to go to the Bible, of course. The book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 30 through 31, in which it states, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And finally, the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 28, and where it states, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, pardon me, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Now, as I stated earlier, yes, sir, all praise is due to Allah. Now, as I stated earlier, our topic is taken from the article entitled "The Great Decisive Battle in the Sky." And as we move further into the broadcast, we are going to clear, using that language, using the language of Dianetics, we're going to clear, or we're going to define those words, "the great decisive battle in the sky," so we can have a clear understanding of what we're discussing. But in order to really lay the base, if you will bear with me, I usually only share portions, but it is vital for this subject that I share this, and it's a short article. You should get the book, Message to the Black Man, read it for yourself. Read the entire book. But in order to lay this base, I need to share this with you, and then we're going to move swiftly into our discussion. "The great decisive battle in the sky, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. They see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." St. Luke 21:25-27. "You will bear me witness that we are living in such time as mentioned in the above prophecy. Signs in the sun and in the moon, the phenomena going on in the sun and its family of planets testify to the truth that something of the greatest magnitude is about to take place. The final war or battle between God and the devils in the sky. Allah God, who has power over all things, is bringing the powers of the sun, moon, and stars into display against his enemies. The fire of the sun to scorch and burn men and the vegetation and dry up the waters. The moon will eclipse her light to bring darkness upon man and upon all living things to disrupt with her waves all air communications. The magnetic powers of the moon will bring about such tidal waves of seas and oceans as man has never witnessed before. The sea and the waves roaring, as man's hearts fail them with fear at the sea, looking upon great tidal waves coming toward them like mountains. They also shall see such a great display of power from Allah God in the sky that their hearts will fail. Great earthquakes never felt before since man was upon the earth will take place, say the Bible and the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran says there will not be one city left that will not be leveled to the ground. Using this force against the enemies of Allah will make it impossible for them to survive. This is all known to this world, but why are they trying to build up a defense against God? It is useless. America has it coming. Look how she has been and still is mistreating her freed slaves, so-called Negroes. The foolish so-called Negro preachers and leaders want social equality with these, their enemies. The great distress of nations spoken or prophesied of coming in the above chapter and verse is now going on. Confusion all over the Western world today. They, devils, see the end of their world, and they see the signs of the Son of Man coming in the sky with power and great glory. The great Ezekiel's wheel and the unity of the Muslim world and the distress of nations. The so-called Negro must awaken before it is too late. They think the white man's Christianity will save them regardless of what happens, and they are gravely mistaken. they must know that the white man's religion is not from God, nor from Jesus or any other of the prophets. It is controlled by the white race and not by Almighty Allah, God. The near event draws nigh. There shall be none besides Allah to remove it. Do you wonder at this announcement? And will you laugh and not weep while you sport and play? So make obeisance to Allah and serve him. For the Quran, Surah 53, 57, 58, and 59, and 60 are the ayats of verses. Let us remember another saying, another Quran saying, none disputes concerning the communications of Allah God. For those who disbelieve, therefore let not their going to and fro in the cities deceive you. The people of Noah and the parties after them rejected prophets before them, and every nation purposed against their apostle to destroy him. And they disputed by means of the falsehood that they might thereby render null the truth. Therefore I destroyed them. How was then my retribution, and thus did the word of your Lord prove truth against those who disbelieved that they are the inmates of the fire? For the Quran 40:4-6, because of Allah, surely Allah speaks the truth. And I want to reiterate what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. Notice he said they think the white man's Christianity. There is a difference between what Jesus taught and what true Christianity is, and the white man's Christianity. That's why he reiterates and says the white man's religion is not from God. All right, sure. Let's start it. Dr. Salam.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
My first question to you, and to everyone, honestly, the first question is, when does this battle, the great decisive battle in the sky, when does this battle take place?
Thank you for that question, brother, and I'll share what I can.
Yes, sir.
Nothing of God when it comes to correction or destruction comes until an end time. And the end time is unknown of the exact hour, but we are in a time now where a single man pregnant with a whole nation with him is saying to the people, to Satan, and to those who are without knowledge, he is saying, this is the time and what must be done. When you say must is not suggested. Must is a direct order. So my thing is, who can hear a direct order unless it be someone who knows how to receive an order and trust the man that's given the order? So if it's a time and what must be done, and there's confusion between Satan and the man and people of God, then something is about to happen so devastating that you have to be separated from what you have been tied to, because what you have been tied to is a slave master who wants to see you continue to live in death. And I mentioned living in death one time, and I don't think the people really understood it. They said, you can't live in the grave. I said, but you can live in the graveyard of your mind.
Yes, sir.
So what the minister is doing, a caller called once, and I got to mention this because it's been on my mind. And the sister that was once with us, or once with the believers, said, why did the minister, Minister Farrakhan, change from Muhammad speaks to the final call? Now, that is a good question. She said, I didn't understand that. And I was so glad that she said that, dear brother, because I know I had an answer for that, and I know that Dr. Ava Muhammad had an answer for that. But some of the believers may not understand that. And it's simple. Muhammad doesn't speak forever. No prophet of God lasted or spoke forever. You speak, and then you sound a trumpet. And he was tuning up with his violin when he called the Million Man March. And now it's a trumpet. It's a blast saying not just this is the final call. It's saying separate. That is not suggesting to you that you separate, but that is a direct order. So the time right now, dear brother, is between Allah, God, and Satan to see who will survive the war of Armageddon. And if we're on the correct path, and I know we are, then at a certain point in time, Satan will fall if we're dutiful.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for that response. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Do we, first, do we have anybody in the chat room or on the phone who wishes to join us?
Well, we have a lot of people in the chat room. We have a lot of people on the phone. So let me just say, if anyone has a question or comment or something that they care to add to the conversation, please press one on your dial pad and we will tune you in. Those of you in the chat room, y'all already know what to do. Type in your question, or you're welcome to call in and let us hear your beautiful voices. So our number is 646-716-5971. But no hands up yet, Brother Kareem.
All right. Praise be to Allah. We're going to roll.
All praise
be to Allah. That's right. So I will ask you, though, Queen, on that one, on this first question, you know, from what we have learned, particularly focusing more so on the time and what must be done, those segments from 51 to 55, and where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been delving more in detail into the mother plane and its purpose, both the destructive and healing purpose. Based on that, I'm going to ask you the same question in your view. When does this battle take place?
This battle takes place in a long time, but as far as there's another battle that is going on as we speak. Because
yes, ma'am.
If you can recall, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us that we are in the valley of decision.
Mm.
Well, we all know that decisions that are in the process of being made can sometimes become a battle. And also the decision process, you know, you can make a decision and say, I want to live right, I want to do right, but now the practical application thereof is also a battle. So there are many battles that are present and going on today, but that particular battle, only Allah, I feel, knows the time. But the stage has long been set, and we have long been warned. And so now, as our famous newspaper is titled, The Final Call, this is where we are. So those days that we once only heard of are greatly upon us now. And so we are in the battle, in the valley of decision. And inshallah, we are preparing ourselves for that great day or days when the battle in the sky actually occurs literally. So that's my answer, Brother Cream.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. And a very, very astute answer.
Yes, sir.
That's right. All right. Well, we're going to go to the second question, even though it has been touched upon and even answered. I'd like to expand on it, on the subject. Question number two, Dr. Salam, if you would expand on your earlier answer, because question number two is, who are the persons or forces in this battle?
That's a great question. There can't be but two people in existence. Those people who are aligning themselves with God's man,
mm-hmm.
with the, in the spirit of Elijah, and then those people who are in fear. But let me go back just a minute, because something happened back in the day that a lot of people may not know about, and I want to try to bring that to fruition.
Yes,
in the late 60s, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to Brother Louis Farrakhan that on this man I lay the key. Now, I believe you all have heard that before.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you say on, if you're going to break it down right, you break down each word. On is so as to remain supported or to be attached or unified with or to have a supporting part of or a base. So when you put something on somebody, you attach something to them. And then he said lay. If you look at the word lay, it means to deposit or to charge with or to input onto, or to cause to be in a particular situation or state of condition, or to impose a burden. Now, that's the word I want to get to just for a minute, if I can.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
And when somebody says, on this man I lay the key, if you're going to give somebody a key, they may not know exactly what to do with it if you give them instructions even. Or you can lose a key because it's not attached to you. But when somebody drills something in your heart, which is the cerebral cortex of your brain, it becomes a burden and is a weight of leadership that he meant when he said, on this man I lay the key. So he's given the minister a gift, and the gift is that he's the bearer of the gift. But the gift, if it was just a regular gift that could be unwrapped, it could be stolen. But no matter what happens, in his deepest sickness at one time, when we thought he was so critical that we could lose him, Allah raised him from that deathbed to better health than he had before. He looks like he's 50.
Yes, sir.
So this man stood in the grave and saw death, but Allah raised him. That was not just a sign for him. That was a sign also for us. Then he called the 1 million black men, and 2 million came. And no other man could call 90% of a faith that wasn't the faith of himself. There's no pastor. This is something that the Christians really have to pay attention to. Here is a Muslim that called 85 to 90% Christians in peace and harmony, and they came in peace and they left in peace. But that march, that day, was not the real thing. The real thing was the next day, because the next day, 2 million people who made footprints, it didn't look like anybody ever been there. So that was spiritual. You couldn't tell one person was there. after they left, because they left in salam, peace, and as they came in salam, peace. So when you say the burden, when a man is raised from the dead, and this man is calling his people and all others that will come and saying to this devil, I know this wheel. You know I know this wheel. Let's have a showdown. What other man has said that except for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? So when he says, all aboard, final call, separate, this is not suggested. We should be in the process of doing this. We should be moving in that direction. But we got to clean ourselves up there, brother. If we kept our general orders and lived by our restrictive laws, we would be close to perfect just doing those two things. Our restrictive laws is our life. And if we lose one of them, we have lost life. And that's what I see that. That's how I see that.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to define or clear some words, and our subject is taken from, again, the article, A Message to the Black Man, on page, starting on page 292, The Great Decisive Battle in the Sky. The or the is defined as definite article of a particular type or class, unique. Is defined as notably large in size, elaborate, remarkable in magnitude, degree, or effectiveness, chief over others, main. Decisive is defined as having the power to decide, unmistakable, conclusive, coming from the same root as decide, which comes from the Latin decidere, to cut off. A combat or fight between two persons or forces, an encounter between armies, ships of war, or aircraft, from the Latin batere, to beat. And in is defined as inclusion within limits or location. Finally, sky is defined as the upper atmosphere or expanse of space that constitutes an apparent great vault or arch over the earth, heaven, climate, or cloud. So now, having those definitions, I want to go now, and so I want to say this. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as we mentioned earlier, has discussed in detail, great detail, the mother plane or the mothership. He has discussed in great detail the baby planes or the small circular planes that come from the mothership, their purpose, what they will do, the things that will happen. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has told us, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan repeats, he reminds us of the fact that as far as this war, this battle that is to take place in the sky, and as was mentioned earlier by both Queen Aziza and Dr. Salam, the fact that the hour, even as the Bible tells us, that of that hour no man knoweth, only the Father knoweth, or he that is going to execute at that time knows the exact hour of that particular battle.
Could you recite that last part that you said again about the definitions? I think that needs to be heard again. That's powerful.
Yes, sir. No, not a problem. I'm going to go over it right now. The word the or the is defined as definite article of a particular type or class, unique. Great is defined as notably large in size, elaborate, remarkable in magnitude, degree, or effectiveness, chief over others, main. Decisive is defined as having the power to decide, unmistakable, conclusive, from the Latin decidere, to cut off. Battle is defined as a combat or fight between two persons or forces, an encounter between armies, ships of war, or aircraft, from the Latin battere, to beat. End is defined as inclusion within limits, location, and sky. The upper atmosphere or expanse of space that constitutes an apparent great vault or arch over the earth. Heaven, climate, cloud. And those are the definitions.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That was beautifully stated, brother. All praise is due to Allah. But you hit that word, the. And you can't get around that at all. When you say, on this man I lay the key.
Yes, sir.
And, yes, sir. And when you say the time. But you know something I found out? I was looking at this. I think I talked to Dr. Ava about this. The time and what must be done. I looked at that. And if you take a look at the has the pronoun he in it.
Yes.
If you look at time, time has the pronoun me in it and is a connector or a conjunction. Then you go to what? What has at in it? Must has the pronoun us in it. Be is be, and done has the number one, O-N-E. So when you say he, me, at us, be one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Everything that's happening now, brother, is spiritual.
Hmm.
Go ahead, sister.
Yes, sir.
What did you say there, sister?
I'm just bearing witness, brother. That's all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Me at us be one.
Yes, sir.
Now if a man wanted to have a lecture, the minister could stand up Sunday and say, look, the subject for the day is the time and what must be done. He, me, at us, be one. As-salamu alaykum. And he would have said more than most of our people would have heard in a year.
Hmm.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I agree with you. And you are actually going in the direction that our subject is about tonight, so don't stop.
Yes, sir. Well, dear brother, the sister told me, she said, look, the brothers are going to give you an opportunity tonight. If you mess up tonight, he's going to take you out on the back lot. Now, I don't want to go out on the back lot. I want to say... Because I'm not fighting nothing other than for a bean pie. Now, I'm pretty rough when it comes to my bean soup and my bean pie. But you ain't going to take me out on the lot. I'm going to follow the orders.
Oh, praise.
Yes, sir.
Due to a lot. Yes, sir. Like I say, you're right in line. You're right on point. Because, like I say, that is, you are moving because, and on that note, what I was saying earlier is, what I wanted to say is that the minister and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad have made it clear and plain that the battle between the physical mother plane and the weapon, because it is a weapon, a military weapon.
That's right.
And this world's military is going to take place. And Allah himself has said that, I mean, that's not something we have to be concerned about, fighting them physically, because I'm a, to put it in the language of today, you know, the youth, I think it's how do people say, I got this.
Right.
he got that. So that's not the issue. And
yes, sir.
I'm so glad you said what you said, because question number three is this. And I also, I want Queen Aziza and whoever may be on the phone and in the chat room, you all come on in, because, see, I may log in. If I see some numbers I know, I'm going to start making mics live. So you can hang up if you want to. You're going to need to participate. Now, but the third question to you, Dr. Salam, is this. What is the spiritual meaning of the great decisive battle in the sky?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. I want to take it to a secular level here for a minute, if I
yes,
could.
Sir, go, yes, sir. Go right ahead.
You know, when you look at these athletes, and I watch the football, and the, even in the gymnasium when they're playing basketball, when they score, hit that three-pointer and get fouls and go through the free throw line, they point up. And when they out there giving that praise, they looking up. Thank you. Thank you. Well, now, you don't see anybody. You don't hear anybody. Nobody is waving back. And some of you had never been on a plane, so you hadn't been up there to know that it is stuff up there. But one thing that our people need to know, and I'm going to say this, I'm not going to dwell on it now, but there has nobody on this planet been to the moon. The moon has an infrared beam around it that keeps anything from getting within 10,000 miles of the moon. When God separated the moon from the earth, he set it position that it was light, but it was more than that, just light. The moon actually is tugging on the earth all the time for water, but it can only move so many feet toward the earth without going back. The moon is what manages the menstrual cycle of the female. The moon is a light, and I call it a backup light to the sun. Nothing has been on the moon. There's no atmosphere on the moon. You stick a flag in the ground on the moon, and you see the flag moving. Well, then that just kills the whole thing there, because there's no atmosphere to move it. Then one side of the moon is light, another side is dark, and you got on them Jetsons spacesuits, and you hopping around because there's air pumped in your outfit. I could do the same thing on Earth. So when you are pointing up, what are you really pointing up? You're pointing up at a higher authority.
Yes, sir.
Now, the reason I use that word higher authority, what authority are you looking for? If you saw something coming down looking like some kind of monster, you run. What are you looking for? If you're looking for a higher authority, you're looking for a superior mind and a superior being that has all power. And the only person that can guide you to that being or to that thought is God's man. And God's man is going to be embroiled in a conversation and in an argument and disagreement with Satan. So if you really want to make it plain, there's number one man on this planet that the government of America truly, truly has a problem with. They play with Barack, but Barack is no threat to them. There's only one man that talks about a man named Elijah who Esau called on when he got in trouble. Now, if Esau can call on Elijah, why can't you believe that Elijah gave a man a key to our salvation and our heaven? So why do you point up? You point up because you're crazy. Because in just a few hours, that up went down. Up never stays in the same place. So you're looking at a rotation of an earth by which the atmosphere is going to be a sign of that wheel. And that wheel has been seen by us. It's been seen by them, and they know the time, and they're preparing for the time. So what are they preparing to do? They're preparing to get rid of you. They're poisoning our food. They're poisoning our water. They're poisoning our air. Our schools are closing. Our communities are dying. Motor City now looks like a bicycle city, and that was the most productive city in America. But right now we can go right back there, dear brother and sister, because it is 32 miles long, and it is the gateway to transportation from Canada to the Eastern Americas. Everything that comes in that's worth anything comes through that canal right through the river at Detroit. So what's up? The time and what must be done in Allah's war, which will be wheels, men, and death. And I'll let you take it from here, brother.
They're all praises due to Allah. Well, the question in Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You know, I have to wait till you respond because I know you be multitasking. No, you don't.
Yes,
yes,
sir.
Okay. So we still have no volunteers, no comments, no questions.
No, but Sister Yatira and Brother Carl on the phone, Brother Hakeem is on the phone. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call out nobody's name, but we do have a question from Sister Michelle. We do have a question from Sister Michelle. She said, I've never heard the minister really mention a Michael. And there was a talk about an angel named Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she wants clarity on.
Oh, okay. Oh, the angel Michael or Mikhail. Yes, he's considered, when you study your theology, Michael is mentioned in, you'll find more talk about Mikhail, that particular angel, in what they describe as Sufism. You find a lot of literature there on him. More so when you talk about Michael, you'll find mention of him in your biblical studies. And Michael is the archangel who is, if I'm not mistaken, when you read in Revelation, it talks about there was a war in heaven, and that
right.
When Satan, when Lucifer was cast out, it was Michael that cast him out. Michael is the general. He's the leader of God's army of angels. You know, Michael is not somebody to play with, you know, according
right.
to, like I said, the theology. He's the one, if you've ever seen the pictures, my mentor and my teacher locally here in St. Louis when I was little, he didn't call them pictures, he called them cartoons. He said when you saw those cartoons that they made and they would show you these pictures, you would see when they make pictures of what they say is Michael, they'll show him with his breastplate on and all his armor, his wings spread wide, and he's got a sword. Some pictures they have show him with a sword dripping with blood. So that is, the information that we have using, that name Michael. Now, in Sufism, and I use that term because people will be familiar with it, There actually is no Sufism, just like there is no Islamism. It's Islam and it's Sufi.
That's right.
But among the Sufi, when they talk about Mikael, Mikael is also called Israfil, or the angel of death.
That's right.
And when he comes as Mikael, Mikael comes, like I say, at the head of the angels of Allah, and they come to absolutely wipe out whomever Allah has given the order against. There's no question, I mean, man, woman, or child. Okay, and remember now, we don't do spookism. So I'm just sharing with you as the literature would share it. Now, when Mikael comes in the persona or as the principle of Israfil, this persona is more peaceful. This is the one when they show you the mythology of quote-unquote death coming, and he's got the hood on and the size, you know, and he's going to come up to you with the bony finger and say, it's your time. That's where they take that from, is from Israfil. Now, according to the teachings of Sufi, when the angel of death comes, if you are of the unrighteous, it's your time. However, if you are of the righteous, he actually has to ask your permission to take you. And if you're not ready to go, you don't go. Now, like I said, we don't do spookism. And on this particular show right now, the subject we're dealing with, we don't have time to go into all of that. But since the subject has been raised, on a future show, we'll go in depth into these various expressions of the angels and things of that nature. However, I want to clarify and reiterate and be clear that we are taught that the angels are human beings just like us being human beings, only they're human beings on a higher order. They operate literally with the mind of Almighty God, Allah. They obey. They don't deviate. But there's not something spooky. They're not some wisp of smoke. They don't have wings. Okay. So I'll pray to Allah that I'll answer Sister Michelle's question.
Yes, sir. And also, dear brother,
yes, sir.
Mikael is called a militant angel.
That's right.
And
that's right.
And what can be found about him is in Daniel 10:13, the 10th chapter of Daniel, the 13th verse. And I think if you read those five or six lines, I believe is what it is, you will definitely have your answer. But no one on the planet could have answered that any better than you did on that, brother. Thank you.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, sir. I thank Allah for first of all, himself. I thank him for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. But I would be totally remiss if I did not thank Allah for Sister Lena 2X, also known to some as Sister Jewel Fuara, my mother, MGT, made it incumbent on us. See, in her house, in her TV, we were allowed to watch TV on 2 days. That was Saturday and Sunday. And my brother and I were allowed to pick a show Saturday morning. And so one Saturday, I had to watch what he wanted to watch, and he had to watch what I wanted to watch another Saturday. And then on Sunday nights, we were allowed to watch Twilight Zone or Mission Impossible. Okay, so that was the extent of my TV watching. Other than that, I was required to study everything the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught, and then everything on Islam, everything involving Islam. So I thank Allah, because otherwise I wouldn't. If it weren't for Allah and my mother, I wouldn't know.
Right. So, you know, you just reminded me of something, dear brother. At Mars 55, one Friday, we just had gathered and been out and sold some papers and what have you, and they played one of the old interviews where this devil was interviewing the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the messenger, in short, was telling him, we believe in the scriptures of the Bible, that which has not been tampered with. He said, we don't think the whole Bible has been tampered with. And he went to just reciting scriptures to this white anchor person. And the man looked at him and said, Mr. Muhammad, it just seems to me that you're just twisting the words. And the messenger said, well, I got this book from you. And when he said, I got this book from you. And man almost tore up the wall, falling. And in other words, he was telling, if it's any corruption in it, I'm repeating what you wrote.
Yes, sir.
Just that simple, brother. Just that simple. So that's akin to what you were saying. And the real issue, I think, dear brother and sister, and those of you who are listening, it's hard to separate you from a man that has fed you all of your life. It's hard to separate you from a man whose name, last name, you bear. It's hard to separate you when you don't know what tribe your ancestors come from, when they came 9,000 miles across the water. You don't know how strong a pregnant mother had to be that would jump off the boat and swim to the sharks rather than to bring her child into slavery. Your education, your health, your medicine, your mind, your clothing, everything that you see each and every day has come from your enemy. So when you hear a man saying, let's do for self, let's make our own clothes, let's help Dr. Risley build Risley Gardens all over the world, all over the country. Let's separate. Let's grow our own food. When you hear a man saying that, it's an insult to you, not because you insulted, but you're mad in truth, in all truth, and I got to say this. You're mad, people, because truth has insulted your real master, because you believe that that man is blonde-haired and blue-eyed, and that is your Lord. He couldn't look like you because of your condition. That's what you're thinking in your mind. It is not that you hate the minister. In your quiet moments, he said, damn, that man is something else. But when you get out in the general population, which is an open prison for you, then you have to side with Satan because he's the only one that has fed you. And I just had to throw that in there, brother.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And now I'm going to share this. This is from the writings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's in a small book that you can purchase. It's entitled The Mother Plane. It's a little bitty book. It won't take you long to read it, but it is chock full. It is packed full of valuable information. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states this. He said, Allah God, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, taught me that this plane is capable of reaching a height of 40 miles above the earth. Now, note these words. Pay particular attention to these words. His words could have been seen meaning 40 years in which the plane would go into action, and not referring actually to 40 miles. Allah God does not speak one word that does not have meaning. Every word that he speaks has meaning. The mother plane, according to what has been described of it by the devil scientists, is capable of not only staying up for periods of time, but it is also capable of eluding the scientists. They want to attack and destroy it. But if a plane did get close enough to attempt to carry out this purpose, it would be destroyed instead. The white man has learned that this is not a plane to be played with. Planes come out of the mother plane. Now, having shared that, and before I move on to the next question, I want to say this in line with that as we move forward. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, was among us for 44 years. All praise is due to Allah. And we know that all those scriptures which refer to Muhammad in the Quran, when it talks about the Ummi prophet or the Ummi messenger, Ummi meaning mother, are referring to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm not going to mince words about that. That's talking about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
That's right.
Now, we are taught, just as he just said, that planes come out of the mother plane. So we're talking about now the spiritual aspect of this plane and this great decisive battle in the sky. Now, we're taught, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan just dealt with in parts 51 through 55 of the time and what must be done, he talked about the size of the mother plane and the fact that aboard it, as we have been taught, are 1,500 bombing planes. And it said, note, that each of these planes carries three bombs. These bombs, now, it said, are made of the finest steel. They're tipped with the finest steel, and they have a drill on the tip. And when the bomb is dropped, the bomb will drill into the earth, and the detonator on the bomb is set so that the bomb will not go off until it reaches a depth of 1 mile. And when it reaches this depth of 1 mile and it explodes, it'll raise a mountain 1 mile high, destroying everything in a 50 square mile radius around that mountain that has been raised. Now, again, we're talking about the spiritual aspect of this. So I'm asking you to broaden your thinking and think now. And move beyond this. And like I said, we're not talking about nothing spooky. Let us look at, since the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is that Ummi messenger. So since for every physical thing there is a spiritual counterpoint, then could not the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad be compared to, on the planet, the mother plane? And then the ministers and the students that he produces, the baby planes, and the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding coming from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which means it's coming directly from God. These words as bombs, and as these words, as these things come into us, this truth, as Allah states in the Quran, lo, we hurl the truth at falsehood, and it knocks out its brains. So couldn't this truth be compared to these bombs? And when these bombs enter into, or this truth enters into an individual's mind, whose mind is filled with madness, filled with filth, filled with falsehood, that it literally drills into your consciousness until it reaches the proper depth. And then when it explodes, it raises a mountain 1 mile high, destroying everything in a 50-mile radius. Now, we're talking spiritually now. In other words, in essence, breaking up the falsehood, killing it, knocking out its brains. And on that note, that's just something to think about. I want to go here because this relates to our next question.
In the Quran, the Holy Quran, Surah or chapter 84 is entitled Al-Inshikak, the bursting asunder. In it, Allah states, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, when the heaven bursts asunder and listens to its Lord and is made fit, and when the earth is stretched and casts forth what is in it and becomes empty and listens to its Lord and is made fit, O man, thou must strive a hard striving to attain to thy Lord until thou meet him. And I'm going to say one more thing, and then we're going to come back for questions and comments, because I'm going to ask this question of Dr. Salam and Queen Aziza, too. And you folks on the phone, get ready. We finna wire y'all up. Notice here, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states about this mother plane, because remember, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is sitting in the seat. So the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It says, the mother plane, according to what has been described of it by the devil scientists, is capable of not only staying up for periods of time, but it is also capable of eluding the scientists. They want to attack and destroy it. But if a plane did get close enough to attempt to carry out this purpose, it would be destroyed instead. Now, I don't know about you, but with all the attacks on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, from all sources, from among our people who consider themselves scientists, who consider themselves representatives, particularly from the scientists of this world, I haven't seen any of them that when they attack him that haven't been destroyed. And so having said that, Dr. Salam, this is the question. How does this relate, Surah 84, Ayats 1 through 6?
Okay, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, repeat that.
The question is, what I just read, how does this relate to what I just read from the Quran, Surah 84, Ayats 1 through 6?
I see it as relative in several ways. One in particular, what people have to realize, the man that's giving you this, who is locked in this controversy? Well, you could say the whole of the NOI. And you could be partially right. But it is the minister who has given a year. 1 year. Listen now.
Yes, sir.
Who has spoken on a topic? Who can have enough in his heart? Who can have enough of Allah to speak for now more than a year on the same topic, the time, and what he's done, and never, never truly repeat himself from the core of each message? That man has to have some power beyond not only our power, but the enemy. And he's got to already know he's got that power. A man cannot act powerful unless he knows he got power. Otherwise, he will perish in front of the people instantly. So whatever is going down is going to go down really soon. Now, this is what I see in my heart. And this final call, this time and what must be done, it is really an urgency. And to the people, it didn't say anything about you got to pack up and go anywhere. You can see the transformation of your life before you and the devil sinking in the water just as Pharaoh by you just being obedient to the time and what must be done. This man I believe in my heart, and I'm talking about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir.
Has power to say be, and it will be. It is. He has that power now. But if you look at the Quran and look at the Bible, both gave Satan a challenge. This is the way it is. Take it or leave it, but it would be best if you took it and changed. I'm just paraphrasing. Well, we know Satan don't want nobody. They don't want to know. They don't want us to know the power that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad has. They know he's still alive, and they know who Master Farrakhan Muhammad was. And if those two men are backing the minister, and the minister is calling them out, here's a man calling Satan out. He's saying, I dare you to come. Please come. They have run out, brother and sister, they have run out of interviewers to interview him. He didn't just wiped out all the bank, all the big boys. Here's Bernanke now stepping down. I mean, he just cleaning house and he ain't lift a fish yet. I'm telling the people who's listening, we have a brother who has power at this point in time to say be, but some of us are falling away. Do you hear what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? Some of us who are believers are not actually in line with the time and what must be done. This ain't no time to divorce. This ain't no time to argue. This ain't no time to hold grudges. This is not a time to say, well, it's the older brothers that's the problem, or it's the younger brothers that's the problem. It's not a time to leave your wives. This is a time when you get ready to bear witness that the black man is God. I'm just going to say it. Receptivity will never rule dominance. We are on the dominant border of our true resurrection in the north, and the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is teaching and showing the minister step by step what to do. And at a certain point, he's going to say, now. And I believe in my heart that you're going to see a big, now this is just my testimony. I believe after Savior's Day in Detroit, which has died, that you're going to see a resurrection that day and from this day on. I think Savior's Day 2014 will be a sign, a visible sign of the power. I think something is going to be so spectacular in the nation that the whole world is going to have to bear witness. That's my say.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Has any brave soul raised their hand yet?
Of course. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Carl. Your mic is live.
Well, that was the family.
And all praise be to Allah. How you doing, Brother Carl?
Oh, I'm just fine by God's grace, brother. Just really, really enjoying the show, brothers and sister. And
Brother
and,
Carl, are you on speakerphone? Because your voice is sounding a little distorted. We want to be able to hear you clearly.
Let's see. Yeah, I was on speakerphone. I was walking around listening to y'all, so sorry about that.
Thank you.
Is that much
better?
Thank you.
Praise
be Allah. Yes, ma'am. Oh, brother, I just, sister, family, I just wanted to add something in here. Brother, I haven't seen that book, but I have something here from the Honorable, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ. And let me get my glasses back on, because it's talking about the mother plane, and this is not the main thing I wanted to go into, but let me just read this to y'all, brothers and sisters. Okay, it says they are designed to drill into the earth upon contact and drill from 1 to 6 miles down. Yeah. And they are timed to explode and destroying everything, all life within a 50-mile radius. And I wanted to ask the doctor or whoever would like to answer, you know, family, that just, I mean, if you got this bomb and you have three on there, and if they were to drop all three in the same hole, one at a time. Now, and they were to go not 1 mile down, but for every mile down, if they were to go 6 miles down and drop, wait a minute, hold on, let me see, where is it? Yeah, and were to drop 6 miles down, then what would be the radius of the explosion? Would that not be 150 miles, doctor?
That would be three times the three,
yeah.
Which would be very, very close to what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, and we had this discussion, I had this discussion after in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
And I'm glad you said that, because I'm 63. I need all the memory I can get. So if you can remind me of anything, I'm always give you things. But in Denver one day, we were talking about that, and a brother said that he knew of some people, and I want you to hear this, drilling down into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they had gone past 300 feet. Now, the Twin Towers, the reason I know that those planes didn't knock the Twin Towers down, because the Twin Towers went down 200 feet underground of stability. And they towers didn't fall. They were imploded. Bombs blew them up. I think many people know that now. And if the devil is listening, you can call me. You can get my number and I'll tell you your face. But as far as what you just mentioned, this is so profound. A lot of people don't know. There are cities. These devils have cities
underground.
That go as many as 20 floors. They have cars, restaurants, hotels, spas, casinos underground.
Yes, sir.
Now, if I want you to hear this, if they were not afraid of something in the sky, why would they be interested in going that far into the ground? They have an idea of Allah's planes and how far these can go into the ground, and they still think they're going to be safe. And some of our people don't realize there are buildings all over the United States that's empty buildings.
Yeah.
But underneath them are everything from casinos to mansions. But you raise a real good point. Satan thinks he can go beyond God's reach. That's Satan's whole idea. Satan has convinced him that he's the God.
Yes, sir. But have you ever thought of, y'all ever thought about this? Now, it says 6 miles deep, up to 6 miles.
Right.
Okay, and we know the number of man is six, and we also know that they bury you 6 feet deep. And I wonder what is the transparency in that? What is the hidden wisdom in that, in those sixes? You know? And is that not three sixes?
It is that a mile is 5,280 feet. But you have just brought up something that I want to share at some point.
Yes, sir.
And six is Satan's number.
Right.
But he's it's not the number that he rules by.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have just a few minutes to share this?
Go right ahead, bro.
Yes, sir.
Would that be okay?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Let me give you a number. If you remember October the 16th, 1995, that was the day of the Million Man March.
October 16th.
Okay. Yeah, October 16th. And Clinton and the Treasury, everything left. Clinton left,
right.
Took Henry Lowndes, the preacher who was supposed to stop the people from coming, took him out there to El Paso, Texas, and whipped his butt and then turned state's evidence on him, sent him to prison because he couldn't stop it.
Mm.
But it's a strange thing that happened that day. October, we call the 10th month.
Mm-hmm.
But October is not the 10th month. An octagon has eight sides. Any student of mathematics knows that. The month before that, we call the 9th month. But septo or septem or septus in the English, Hebrew, and Greek or Latin means 7, not 9. We say November. We call that the 11th month, but Nowo or Nowim or Nowus means 9. And December is easy. You know, a decimal is 10.
Yes.
So we're out of fix with what really the true time is. We came on a number that Satan has in his records, and we came in a number that Satan, that we have in our records. Let me prove it. October is the 8th month in reality, right? October
yes,
means 8,
okay.
All right? That's 1-8.
Yes,
we came on the 16th. 2 times 8 is 16. That's 2 8s. In 1995, if you add the 1, the 9, the 9, and the 5, that totals to 24, 3 8s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to bet. Just stay with me for a minute. The government shutdown, president left, went to El Paso. They left because they thought it was going to be some type of disorder.
Right.
That's their own testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So 8 means something to him. And if you go to the 8s again, 1-8, 16th is 2 8s, 1995 is 3 8s. 3 over 8 leaves a variance of 5. That's why they put 3/5 of a human being into the Constitution, because that 3 and that 5 is 8. It all deals with a sequential series of numbers called the Fibonacci numbers. And let me say one more thing to validate what I'm saying. Not only 8 means something to them, it also means something to the NOI. You know why?
That's right. That's
what is our 8th general order?
Hmm.
In case of disorder, give the alarm.
That's a long one.
So 8 means something to us, and it means something to him. If you're into casinos and you roll a double 4, you roll a hard 8. There's a pool game called 8-ball. You don't win that game until that oversized white ball knocks the 8-ball in the hole and stays on the table itself. But if it falls 2, that's a scratch, and he got to go too. There's a card game called Crazy 8s. I can 8 you all day long. We've had this conversation before in another area. I did. So a lot of that leaving was because of that number. That number is the last number of the Fibonacci numbers. The Fibonacci numbers are 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. The first number added to the second number totals the third. 1, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 5, 3, 5, 8. And the next would be 13, 21, and on and on. I'm saying all that to say this. Their numbers and their fear of numbers and us knowing mathematics, they don't care about us knowing history because we don't believe it anyway. They don't care about us knowing science. It is mathematics that they keep us away from. So if we're wrong about the calendar, we're stupid. We're saying this is the 21st century. How can this be a 21st century and no one follows the two? The last year of the 19th century is 2000. Well, if we're just in the 2-1, this is the 20th century. We're 1 year over that. We're not in the 21st century. There's no 20, only in 2014. So I know I went around and around and around, but I'm going back to these numbers that you're talking about. They don't know how far the earth really is. Their numbers are wrong.
Oh, way off, brother. Yes, sir.
So excuse me for having gone all around the bush telling you about that eight, but it really means something. And when I went and looked at the structure of the way the messenger taught in tenths and in eights and see that our eight general order means in case of disorder, sound alarm, we sound alarm and it was disorder, that's what made them leave. So those are some of the type of things that we have to, you know, when you get a black belt, there's an eighth-degree black belt. I mean, you can go on and on with that eight. I didn't mean to dwell on that.
20 seconds for the blood to run from your brain to bathe your brain into your feet and back to your brain again.
Brother, would you repeat that again, please?
8 minutes and 20 seconds from the blood to your brain to go to your feet and back to your brain again. The same interval is with the sun. It bursts out. I can't think of the word for it, but a force of energy every 8 minutes and 20 seconds causing all the planets to move at 1,037 miles per hour. So it's still that number eight you're dealing with.
Brother, I'm so glad I answered that phone today when the sister called. This is just beautiful, brother.
Yes, sir. Can I share just one thing that I really wanted to share with y'all today? Is that all right with you, brother?
Go right ahead. Sure. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I was going to read something from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but I think I'll say that. Y'all going to have this show again, right? On the subject again?
Inshallah.
Praise be to Allah. Well, what I want to read something.
Our queen that gives us our orders, brother, she's quiet sometimes, but she carries a big stick, and we have to.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, we have to sign petitions and send prayers up and all kind of stuff to get on the ship.
This ain't no accident.
I talked to her earlier, brother. She had the dog.
Nope, this
Brother
is Brother Kareem Shaw. Y'all not going to put that on me tonight. Now, I got some stuff that I do run, but not this one.
See, now you're trying to get Brother Kareem in. He ain't Brother Kareem in. Go out like that.
Praise be to Allah. Now, I wanted to share something if it's all right with y'all.
Excuse me. But, Brother, go ahead and share what you're going to share because I do want to get back to our topic.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, this has a lot to do with the topic. And this is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad hurling out some fire. And I think it's going to bring a lot of clarity to what we're talking about tonight in this mother plane. And it's from on page 298 of Message to the Black Man. Will you be the winner? Mm-hmm. The non-Muslim will not win in a war against Allah. The great Mufti with outer space weapons or inner space weapons, it does not matter, for he has power over everything. The forces of nature and even our brains, he turns them to thinking and doing that which pleases him. The great waste of money. It is a great waste of money to build your defense against him. Or the third world war is useless. You don't need Navy, ground forces, air forces, standing armies to fight. That's why the minister tells his brother, we don't have to worry about that. Allah got this. This last war, what America needs to win is to give freedom and equal justice to her slaves and the so-called Negroes. This injustice to her slaves is the real cause of this final war. Give them up to return to their own or divide with them the country that you took from their people, the Indians, which the blood of 400 years then even gave all of their brain power to you. They helped you and you killed anyone that you said was your enemy, even if it was their own brother or your own brother. What have you given them for their labor and lives? It is just a job to labor for you. You hunt them and shoot them down like the wild game. Burn them and castrate them. And then you count it as sheep for the slaughter. All you seek justice and have continuous persecution persecuted me and my poor followers for 25 years. One last paragraph. Both fathers and sons are sent to prison just because we believe in justice to teach our brethren the same. We are imprisoned and forced to eat the poison and divinely prohibited flesh and the filthy swine of our food, swine as our food. To your joy, you set your agents and guards around and about our meeting places where we are trying to serve the God of our blind, deaf, and dumb people away from hearing and believing the truth. With 50 states, which equal approximately 6 million square miles, with billions of dollars in gold buried and rusting, which we helped to get you for you. Yet, last sentence, none of ours, not the tiniest or worthless state of yours, have you offered your royal or loyal slaves, not even one square mile for their 400 years of labor. And I just wanted to entice us, those who are a part of the show and those who are listening in, to go to page 298 and read the rest of what I read or thought over. It's only 2.5 pages, man. But it's very powerful, and it goes into Ezekiel. It goes into other things in the Holy Quran as well as the Bible. So please check it out. And lastly, I just wanted to say, brother, when you were talking about Michael, I believe that all the FOI, especially the captains, the Luqua leaders, the MGT as well, look, all of us have a bit of Michael in us. Anyone that has got these teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it's something about the power of Master Farad Muhammad. He puts a power in you that makes you a soldier and makes you want to fight and stand up for freedom, justice, and equality. So I ain't got to wait on Michael to come down. Damn it, Michael's here. And Michael, you should look in the mirror and see Michael in you every day. So that's what I just wanted to add to talk about Michael, black man. The minister said this, that one day I will create 10,000 Farrakhan. Well, that man is more like Michael than anybody I've ever seen. So if he's created 10,000 Farrakhan, then we need to step up like Farrakhan and be an angel like Michael. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes,
all
sir.
Right,
all praise, all praises due to Allah. I mean that. What you just said bears witness to a statement by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in which he stated that there are already 10,000 angels in North America. He said, and they're all death angels. So. All praise
that
due to Allah. Yes, sir. So thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you very, very much. Now, and so, I mean, we're still on topic, still on subject. So, and just to clarify, I want people to understand that, you know, because we're getting down now to our last 15 minutes or so. The thing is this, is that we've gone for the again, I want to reiterate, the fact that the battle in the sky, the physical battle in the sky between the military of the Caucasian and the mother plane, that's a given. We know who the winner is. But in the spiritual sense, there is another battle in the sky, as Queen Aziza mentioned earlier, that is taking place. And that battle in the sky, the minister himself has talked about it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has talked about it. You've heard others say, talk about it, that it is a battle for the minds and the hearts of the people. And that battle in the sky, that is the one that I'm talking about, is the battle that goes on in our own minds. Because once you have these teachings, once you are moving toward the path of righteousness, even if you don't have, I'm going to say it this way, even if you don't have these particular teachings, if you are an individual who only knows the Bible and is struggling and striving to live a righteous life, we live in a society that constantly bombards us with wickedness and evil, and they make evil far-seeming.
That's right.
If you're listening to the radio, which I'll be very honest with you nowadays, I never do. I never. If you watch the television, if you look at these movies and even the magazines, everything that they're promoting, we have to remember the same goes, they say, well, thought is the cause of it all. So that we're constantly being bombarded with wickedness. So that, and then within our own minds, we have what is called deceptive intelligence. There's a
That's
part
right.
of our minds that will actually allow us to do wrong and then justify that wrong, even in the face of truth. So the battle in the sky, the sky I'm talking about now, the one that we have to deal with, is within our own minds, within our own lives. This is why we referred to Surah 84, where it talks about the bursting asunder. When it says, and when the heavens burst asunder and listens to its Lord and is made fit. I'm going to stop right there. We are taught, as Muslims, followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, students of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the guidance and leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we are taught in simple terms that heaven, which is one of the definitions of sky,
Right.
That heaven is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, freedom, justice, and equality, peace, peace of mind, and hell is ignorance. So we're just going to deal with the heaven part. So since it's the great decisive battle, meaning the battle that's going to decide who rules the planet, well, that means who's going to rule in my thinking? Who is ruling in my life? It is a constant battle and struggle each and every day to keep one's life on the correct track when you have this individual who in the scripture is titled, called the Prince of the Powers of the Air. And you can't tell me he's not, because he controls the airwaves. He they produce all the television, so they produce all the quote-unquote entertainment. Just look at that word. Entertainment. Put a hyphen between each of those syllables. Entertainment. Enter, which is a word which is defined as to go into. T-A-I-N, put a T on the end, and you get the word taint, which means to color or pollute. And then M-E-N-T, just add A-L to it, and you get mental, which means referring to your thinking or your mind. So any entertainment is something that goes into and colors or taints or pollutes your mind. Now, the converse, because there's always a positive to a negative, is that you can have other things that you can entertain yourself, or we can entertain ourselves in the correct way by absorbing, by reading, by listening to, by having dialogue about those things which are of and directed toward the doing of the will of God. So this is the great and decisive battle in the sky that we're discussing truly tonight, because as I just stated, the battle in the sky between the Caucasian and his military and the mother plane, that's a given. They can't win. The technology is so far beyond them. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself stated, they might as well just give up. Why are you wasting your time building weaponry when this is so far beyond you? So the great decisive battle in the sky that we have to deal with, again, I'll state, is for the control of our minds and then for the control of the minds of the people. Now, that having been said, I'm going to come to the final question. And Dr. Salam, what What must we do to win this battle?
I can't say that but any other way.
Yes, sir.
Trust, believe in, and do all you can to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes,
that is our teacher. That is our guide. That is our answer to our condition. And those of you who are listening, especially believers or wannabe believers, or whoever's listening, this man never makes anything special of himself. If you've ever sit down and had to be corrected by the minister, you had an experience, but it always ends in, now, dear brother, we just have to do this thing right. Wouldn't you agree? I love you, brother. And that's how he ends it. Now, it's far, all in the middle. I mean, your socks burning, your behind is burning, and you don't know whether you're going to be out or in, but in the end, All he's saying is, I love you, and let's just get this thing right. And that's what it's all about. When you see a man, what other man gives his life, man? Sometimes I cry, man. 52 weeks speaking on a subject? I can't think of 52 words sometimes. But this man is given 52, and it can't come from him. It's got to come from a higher authority. Do you feel me, brother? It has to come from a higher authority. What authority? He said the messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the most honorable Elijah Muhammad will say, thank you, Master Fahad Muhammad. You cannot get around these three men. I'm going to put it out like this. This is on me. You cannot get around these three men and live a quality life. Now, I'm done. That's what I really mean. You cannot get around these three men in this day and time and have life. Brother?
Yes, sir.
It's on you, man. That's my clothes right there. That's
yes,
my
sir.
Clothes.
All praise is due to Allah. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. So, do we have any questions, comments at this point?
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of questions now.
Well, let's go.
Okay, well, we're going to start with the phones. Area code 513, your mic is live.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
My question is, I probably need to pause this down. Okay, my question is, brother, I didn't get your name. However, you were the last speaker that I heard. You were saying that we as believers or those of us who want to be believers, we should help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So in what way? Can you explain what you mean by that?
You may have been talking about me. This is Brother Salam.
Brother Salam, yes, sir.
Yes. There's one thing we can do for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that will really be more than any kind of gift, and that is follow our restrictive laws. If we follow our restrictive laws, we are in heaven. We can't break one of them. I can't get mad at another brother and not go to that brother. I can't look at a man's wife in any kind of ugly way. I can't think about divorce, and I'm not married right now. I'm engaged to a sister in Jamaica. I don't know how this is going to work out, but inshallah. But we can't leave our women and then recite that a nation can rise no higher than its woman. We're giving a lot of credence to the minister because he deserves it. But he's got a wife, Sister Khadijah, and she's been with him through good times, hard times, and indifferent times. And that has to be a blessing to him. Nobody really says that. But I know the value of a woman because I got an 89-year-old mother that I almost lost. And Allah answered my prayer. She's still here, not 10 feet from me right now. And she loves the nation. And she is 89 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Our restrictive law. I can't think of anything better to do than follow our restrictive laws and understand the meaning of separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's your answer. Your answers.
That's my say. Follow the restrictive law.
Right, because, and I agree with you, Brother Salam, because, you know, there are just, you know, so many times when, you know, we can find reasons to not get along with one another or disrespect one another. And if we are if we follow who we say that we truly follow, then we would stick to, you know, those restrictive laws, like you were saying. I mean, because we have to start this thing, get it on the feet right. I'm saying us as, you know, people who follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, it's time for us to really start doing these things the way that we should have been doing for some time now.
Right. Let me share just a quick story, if I could, and it's about our minister. December 31st, 1996, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan came to Memphis, Tennessee, to Mosque 55.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of his subject was A Message to the Believers. At the end of this, I'm going to cut it short, at the end of this, and I was one of the ones that got to the airport to make sure he was going to be secure going in that day. But when he had ended his text, he said, Minister Anthony, I want to do something. And Minister Anthony said, sure. He said, I want to ask, how many of you in here today have enjoyed what you heard? How many of you believe what you heard is the truth? And the same one man, one little brother, held his hand up every time he asked a question. And he said, stand up, young brother. And I've never seen the minister take this role when he's in a mosque. But he said, I want you to know something. And these words stayed with me. He said, I want you to know that right now, at this very minute, you have submitted your life to wanting to learn more about how to be righteous. That makes you, these are his words, that makes you the cleanest one in the room. And when he said that to that young brother, while I was on post at the door, and my eyes just well with water. That's so humble. Mm-hmm. And that little brother trembled. He had never heard of a man of his stature say that to him. And this young brother processed and just went on and on. But that day was the day I knew I could not turn around. I heard a lot. I heard the shock of the hour. I heard proper praise and proper preaching, and I heard all the lectures. But when he looked at that little brother, it's like a glow of light came around him. He said, you are the cleanest one in here today because you made the first step. You laid everything down.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to say that because I think of that so much. That's why I love that man so much.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I mean, that was so beautiful the way that you explained that, Brother Slum. And, you know, we just need more examples like that for everybody to hear and understand how we should treat one another. And thank you so much. Thank you, Sister Aziza. I don't know the other brother's name. Who's
brother
with you
Kareem.
All?
Brother Kareem.
And who are you,
Kareem.
Sister?
Oh, Sister Barbara, excuse me, Sister Barbara.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Barbara.
Sister Barbara Muhammad.
Yes,
ma'am.
I really appreciate everything that you all do, and I be listening. I be tuning in. Sometime I forget. However, when you send me an email, Sister Aziza did, I know that, you know, it's time to tune in, but sometimes I can't tune in, but I do when I get a chance to.
Yes, ma'am, and it's so good to hear your voice every time. Good to hear you, Queen. Love you much.
Dear
yes,
sister, don't tell her, don't you tell her that you're going to call in the door. She'll send them out at you.
I already know what Sister Aziza. You can see my phone number, so can you give me a call? Because I'd like to, I'm almost ready to be on, you know, one of your shows.
Okay.
I thought about taking a little, I thought about taking a little short nap, but I said, I ain't going to. I'm going to be on time.
All praises to Allah. Okay, well, listen, we got some chat room questions that we need to answer, Brother Kareem, or they going to kill me.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Delia. Oh, no, you can stay right there, Sister Barbara. You ain't got to go nowhere. Just stay right there, Queen. Sister Delia says, why do most people feel as if the end of this world, as we know it, will not end? I don't understand why Christians have it in, how Christians can have it in their Bibles and still don't believe. Okay, she says, why do most people feel as if this world, as we know it now, will not end? I don't understand why Christians have this in their Bibles and still don't believe. Oh, I want to answer that, but go ahead.
I'm gonna let you chime in on that. I will say this very briefly. The reason that they don't believe it is because of how they've been taught. I mean, you come up with lies. I mean, let's just look at the common lies that are prevalent in the Caucasian's Christianity. We're talking about Christmas, Easter, Halloween. I mean, you live in a society that just trains you and feeds you with fantasy. So when you feed the people with fantasy, well, quite naturally, they don't believe. I mean, it's going to church, and how many of the people actually study the scripture for themselves? It's a feel good time. It's a time to go and be entertained, as we were talking about. But as far as having any depth in themselves of the scripture and what God has said and is saying, I mean, it's just another reality show, and that's how I would answer that.
Well, can I say something?
Certainly.
I agree with. Brother, and also, you know, like when as being raised up as a Christian, you know, myself, you know, before I accepted Islam, I've learned a lot of things, you know, when I was in elementary school, you know, about science and all that, which was one of my best subjects. And, you know, I always questioned my minister, or preacher rather, you know, who about God, who is God and everything, and he never could answer. And I asked my parents, and they would say the same thing he would say, you know, just he's Alpha and Omega. But then when I came into the Nation of Islam, the first night I got there, and I heard the student minister speaking, and he was saying that God, the creator, created himself out of triple darkness, and I knew that I was in the right place.
Come on. That's right.
See, because I didn't learn that in, you know, Christianity, you know, I learned it, you know, not that I, you know, don't respect, you know, my Christian preacher or whatever. It's just that he didn't have the knowledge that, you know, would make things understandable.
That's a good point.
Understood. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Huh. But one more thing, sister. Also, in the church, I got to bring this up. There are those in the church who have reign over the other members in knowledge travel, and they call themselves Eastern Stars and Masons. Now, when they get to their degrees, they come out of the Bible and go into the Holy Quran. And if you are an Eastern Star and your husband is not, you can't talk to him about the secret. And if you are a Mason and you got an Eastern Star for wife, you can't talk to her. And if you are a Shriner of the Alchemy Shrine Circus, before you become a Shriner, you're going to recite the Shadu Ilahi Ilallah Ashadu Anna Muhammad Rasulallah. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. So the bishops, even in the Church of God in Christ, I don't mind calling the names, I know them all, and the others who have the chain or the medallion to the left in their pockets, that is Islam. When they go to their private meetings, when they go to their private meetings without their wives, they all pray to Allah.
That's right.
Now, see, I'm not afraid to say that because I know it. I have been around them. I sold them cars through Chrysler. Even Bishop Blake. I'm not afraid to say that. In the Pope of Rome's private prayer chamber is a black Madonna and a black baby Jesus that he bows down to. So what's the problem?
You know, that's true. That is so true. That is so true. Excuse me for interfering with your conversation, but I just had to bear witness.
No, you're a blessing with the conversation, sister. You're a blessing.
And you know, I just wanted to say something to this Sister Delia, because you know, I'm just, you know, I love my brothers and sisters on the panel. I love y'all so much. Y'all know I do. But you know, I'm from the street. I'm straight from the street. I don't have time to be diplomatic. Look. Now, I'm gonna keep it real. You
keep
know,
real.
Really, all of us at some point forget that we are such an insult to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
Because he has created us as unique individuals. And some of us, most of us, are gifted in our thinking, in our abilities. But we have become so impotent. And what is making us impotent, it's not that we lack the knowledge. What's making us impotent is that we don't have the desire to obtain the truth.
Come on.
It's easier to accept the BS than to go in search of the truth. And then what we use, and I'm sorry, and I'm not talking to everybody. Don't inbox me. Don't text me. And you damn sure better not call me. I'm not talking to everybody. But if it hurts, then I'm talking to you. Okay? Listen, we want to own slavery. That's what we want to do. Because that gives us an entitlement that we are not really due. We, if you haven't been beat up by the police in the last 25, 30 years, we have not felt one lash. most of us have not saw our loved ones strung up before us, set on fire, and cut apart. We have not witnessed that horror, but we want to hang on to that as a feeling of entitlement so that we can call the white man the enemy when you really don't even know why he's the enemy.
Come on.
Exactly.
Because that's the enemy one of us produced. But let me tell you something about slavery. If you want to honor those that have gone on before, you recall this. You laughed at them today, talking about them in the field, singing them old Negro spirituals and being, you know, Sambos and all of that. But let me tell you something. In those fields, you imagine having to go and work in those fields when they just killed your baby, when they just strung up your husband, when they just slept with your wife against her will.
Right.
And you go in those fields. And the only thing that they had, because they didn't have nothing else, was their love of God. However they understood him,
that's right.
All they had was their faith. Mm-hmm. When the Emancipation Proclamation, so-called, came down to set the free slaves free, what did they leave with? Nothing.
Nothing.
But their faith. But they acted on their faith, and they built over 60 black towns. Even though they were entitled to the 40 acres and a mule, they didn't sit and wait for it.
Speech now.
But integration has been the biggest.
That's right.
The biggest crime against black people, because when we integrated, we lost our identity, and that desire of knowledge and that desire to do for self diminished. But if you want to pay homage to your ancestors, then use the blood in which this country was built on and own it. You need own it.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to do what it takes to own it. This white man came on the shores when it was the so-called Native Americans here. He wiped them out and he took over. Now it's your turn. But we're waiting on something. You talk about why they point at the sky, Dr. Salon. They're waiting on something, but that is foolishness.
That's right.
Because everything you have as far as homes, cars, machinery, technology, whatever it is, a man built it. So why can't man be God? And why can't you see the God in you? So I'm not down for trying to save people who don't want to be saved.
Yes, ma'am.
As long as Allah bless me, we're going to be on these airwaves 7 days a week. But everybody always asks the question as to why we won't come together. Hell, half of them don't want to.
That's
just
right.
Keep it 100.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me, after witnessing 400 years of brutality, hatred, injustice, crooked politics, and they still in 2014 killing our babies at least one a day? You mean to tell me you still think this enemy got love for you? You don't want to see. You don't want no difference. You want to be here, and you want to sit up and complain about it and feel you entitled to something, and you waiting on somebody else to do something that you can do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
want somebody
to build. Truly desire to build will build, and those who don't, please get the hell out the way. Assalamu alaikum.
Mm-hmm. Alaikum salam.
You know, it's really, really something, because that is the truth in what you're saying, because our people, when it comes to us as Muslims, oh, I'm sorry, I just jumped right up and started talking. See, that's what I got to work with, Sister Aziza. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. And y'all excuse my passion. Excuse my passion, but it is what it is. You know, I'm not trying to get dramatic. I'm trying to be honest, because people dying out here every day. Our babies are getting killed every day. If I see another 16-year-old go on the ground, I just don't know what the hell I'm going to do, because it don't make no sense.
Right.
How do you extinguish a race? You extinguish a race by eradicating the seed from which a race comes.
That's right.
Ain't nobody crazy. We know what they doing. But how many of us care?
And I mean, it doesn't take anybody to go back. It doesn't take, you know, as far as the streets are concerned, we're living around. I mean, the streets are around us, okay? You know, I mean, gunshots and everything, you know, all this killing that's going on, you know, it's all real. Everybody sees this. Our Christian brothers and sisters see this stuff going on. They want to see a change, but they don't want to change their own lives. They don't want to get the ones who don't want to accept it don't want to change their own individual lives, and that's the biggest problem I think it is.
The Bible and the Quran speaks of living easy lives, how dangerous that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, sister, you just really laid that, you just made it plain. You just simply made that as plain as it could be. And fear is a thing. Fear. Fear is another thing. I just don't understand it. You go and fight in wars for folk, jump out of planes for them, but you can't come home and help your next door neighbor. Here's a brother out in 125 degree heat out there with a bow tie selling the file and call newspaper, and because you don't think he loved Jesus, you won't help your brother, and he lives right next door to you.
Come on now.
I mean, we're crazy. And in the heart of the preachers, they know who's right. But they will lose their congregation. You see?
Well, don't let me start talking about no preachers. Oh, my God, we're not going there tonight.
Oh, I'm so glad I got
Allah.
On tonight. Because my sister...
Allah.
Okay, well,
I'm glad
before you blast the preachers, can we do the lineup so we can keep them with us rest of the week?
Okay, wait a minute. Now, I promised these two, and I had to cut everybody else off. Okay, real quick, Faith.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, her name is Faith, and she asked. Is the refusal to get married against the restrictive laws? People keep saying marriage is one half of our faith, but what if we truly do not desire to marry? Does that mean I'm only half a believer?
What kind of
okay?
Now, let me respond to that in this fashion. Nowhere do have I studied in Quran or anywhere where it says that makes you half a believer. It doesn't state that like that. However, let me say this. We were meant, Allah does say this in the Quran, that he created us in pairs.
That's right.
And honestly, I have to say this from my own personal experience, that with all Allah has blessed me with the wisdom he's blessed me with the talents he's blessed me with, I myself personally do not feel complete without my mate. Now, does that make me half a believer? No, because ultimately, it's about my personal relationship with my Creator. Now, honestly, that's a decision. That's something you would have to settle within yourself, I would say. Because, again, there is nothing that states that if you don't get married that you only half a believer. However, when Allah tells us that marriage is half our religion, and the fact that he created us in pairs for us to be together with someone, then I would say that based upon what Allah says, that until I am with my mate, then I'm not complete. But that's
right.
I mean, and so now,
okay.
Now
well,
you,
let me.
But you can respond. You can respond any way you want to, Quincy.
Let me put my marriage counselor hat on. Let me put that
right ahead. Yes,
hat
ma'am.
On right quick. Let me just say this, and anybody else want to say something, you know, that's
right.
Fine. But let me say this. I don't know how old you are, Sister Faith, but the only reason. And trust me when your sister tell you this, dear. The only reason that you don't desire to be married is because you haven't met that man that gives you that desire. That's the only thing. Because, sister, trust and believe me, word is bond. Allah is God. When he comes, We gonna need breaks to keep you from the altar.
Crazy.
That is That is nature. And probably, and I'm just guessing, probably what's happening if you're a certain age or if you're just one of those sisters who, you know, not heavy into courtship or something like that, then you might be under some pressure, you know, from peers or sisters or brothers, whoever. But, see, when Allah chooses for you,
come on,
then your heart will give you the contentment to let you know that he is the one. At the rate that we in the nation of Islam are getting divorced now, we need to be more careful.
Come on.
We need to understand what the study guide said. Stop believing in the thing called the 90-day rule. There is no such
90-day rule. That's right.
As 90 days. 90 days was from brothers who are sisters who were coming in. And they were processing. And the suggestion is that they be in after processing for 90 days before courtship. That's it. That's all that
That's
meant.
Right.
Stop rushing
right.
through your courtship. The Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan said that the courtship
yes.
should last as long as the two people desire it to last until they make a decision. But he does not encourage extended courtship. So a lot of times we get under pressure from our peers as sisters and, you know, we begin to feel inadequate. But sister, trust and believe me, when he comes, no one is going to be able to keep you from the altar. So don't even worry
Correct.
About it, queen. Just hold your, stand on your square.
Right. And then, if I may, add too, you know, some people who are married have to separate as well, because you know, if you, God is trying to, you know, make us the best for each other, and if we don't see some of the greatest things that Allah has for us, then we're showing our unappreciation or disappreciation for Him, because there are so many things that we have that, you know, that we can be working with or doing and getting our own self together, because, you know, it just seemed like there has been a dark period where we all have been caught up into something that we have no business being caught up into. So we need, you know, so that we can get ourselves together. I mean, because even if you think that, you know, the right person is not there for you, or if you are not ready yourself, then you should just hold on until Allah makes you that person who you are to be for that person who He has for you. You're not
yes,
wasting
ma'am.
Any time. You can get somebody else, and then who's really not for you, and then you'll find out that you haven't wasted any time.
And you know, it's really such an injustice. We have to really think about that now. We really have to think about that in on marriage, because we have to first love one another as brother and sister. That's first.
Correct.
Because above all else, we're Muslims. And you
That's
have
right.
to realize that you do not want to go into a marriage with the possibility even that you are going to hurt or deceive that brother or sister.
That's
you
right.
have to want for your brother and sister what you want for yourself. You have to want that whether you're trying to marry them or not. So certainly when it comes down to the time of when we want to choose a spouse, when you say, I do, you want to be the very best spouse that you can be. That means that you are committed to giving your very best of yourself to that person for the rest of your life. And, yes, you're going to fall short. But it's that kind of love and that kind of dedication, that is the adhesive that holds marriages together through all the peaks and valleys. And Allah has to be the foundation of it all. So I tell people, you always have to get married three times. You have to marry Allah. You have to marry yourself before you can marry anybody else. So that person that you marry has to be number three. Has to be the third most important thing in your life until your children come along. Then he bumps down to number four, or she bumps down to number four. But it's that kind of dedication and love that you have to have, number one, for yourself. You got to have it for Allah. But if you don't love you, if you don't love you, then I think it's just mighty, mighty crazy for you to expect somebody else to love you. Because when you love yourself, you know yourself, you're true to yourself, and that is who is represented in your persona. When you don't love yourself, you don't know yourself, he don't know who he married, she don't know who he's married, and it all gets crazy because you have not evolved. You have not come into the knowledge of self. You have not aligned yourself with the law, so you are a stranger to yourself.
Sure. And she wanted to also know, too, Sister Aziza, the sister wanted to know if she was going against the restrictive laws by not, you know, having her better or her other half with her.
No, it's
ma'am.
Not in there.
You go against restrictive law if you marry somebody and you don't love them and you mess up their life for your foolishness. That's against the restrictive law. Now, and anybody who say it different, you tell them to call me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's what's messed up. Okay, we got one more question. Douglas said, oh, God. Oh, Douglas, I promise I will ask this question. Okay, we're going to ride over time just a little bit more because Douglas say, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am.
He said this is to you. He specifically said to you, didn't the white man teach you about spaceships? Now, I'm going to put my phone on mute.
He asked me, didn't a white man teach me about spaceships?
Douglas says that specifically to Brother Kareem, didn't the white man teach you about spaceships? Okay. I'm using my phone.
Go right ahead. First of all, the white man, okay, first of all, if you mean the Caucasian, okay, I have indeed studied all the information that they have, okay, concerning their, that they talk about, and I have studied that. However, my only interest in even studying that information was based on the fact that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us about the mother plane. So if I were to answer your question just in toto or in the simplest manner, no, the Caucasian didn't teach me about spacecraft. First, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, my mother, the ministers at the mosque, my captain, they taught me about spacecraft first. And then as a result of that teaching, I then went on to study astronomy and other sciences. Now, I hope I've answered your question, but my teaching about spacecraft came from Almighty God Allah, Master Farad Muhammad, through the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum.
Bear witness.
Yeah, and the first, we all learned at the same time, we learn Ezekiel's will. So.
Teach. Teach.
And I have a question, Brother Kareem. If real quick, Sister Aziza, if it's okay, just a quick question.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I noticed, you know, well, I always like watching the, what do you call it, up in the air with all the colors, the rainbows.
Yes, ma'am.
And one particular day, I've seen the rainbow come out, and it was like
the colors were even more vivid than ever before, and I got to wondering about that. I'm like, well, you know, what is that really? You know, because this one was way across the, I mean, it looked like it was in about maybe three different communities or neighborhoods. And I was trying to figure out what it, you know, do you know anything about that?
You mean as far as vivid colors in the rainbow? I mean, we know that rainbows are produced. It's a prism effect of sunlight traveling through precipitation or rainwater. So it may have just been the angle that the sun was striking the moisture.
Okay, but what's holding the colors together? I mean, these colors, it's like somebody just painted them. I mean, what's holding the colors together, you know, just so neatly? You know, everything is in like a neat shape, especially this one that I've seen in particular.
Well, like I said, the again, a rainbow is produced by the light of the sun traveling through the moisture or the rain, in essence, and it's the moisture in the earth. So based upon what angle that light was traveling through, like I said, it's a prism effect. And if you're familiar with a prism, what a prism does is it takes what they commonly call white light, and it breaks it down. It breaks it down into all the colors of the spectrum. Okay. So again, like I said, the only thing I could say is based upon what produces rainbows is the fact that it may have been a particularly intense ray or beams of light traveling through that particular, and it may have been a very dense cloud of moisture or dense, very dense rain. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. Than that. I mean, if you didn't see something else producing it, that's what produces rainbows.
Right, but I'm just seeing it. It just seemed like it just appeared out of nowhere, like, whoop, you know, and all those colors. I'm like, what is this? They were so bright.
Well, again, like I say, nothing appears out of nowhere. Remember, everything is a result of the actions of the Son of Man. That's what we have in our lesson. And I can say that's why understanding the science of light refraction, that's like I said, that would be my answer to you on that. That's what would make it so intense. It was particular the angle, particularly strong light, and then the density of the cloud of moisture that the light was shining through would produce the intensity.
Okay, because and I just want to say this real quick, if I may, because I had asked someone else about it, and they were saying something about, like you said, like you mentioned about a prism or glass or something. So I'm trying to figure out a crystal. Where would that come from, though?
Well, it's, again, I talked about the
okay,
prism.
Okay, can y'all discuss that on another show? Because we're about to get cut off.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Please.
We are over time.
If you go ahead with the answer, please.
I'm going to try to go through real quickly. Okay, tomorrow we're having a very special broadcast for Brother Jihad. Everybody, please call in. We're doing a prayer and fundraiser for him, and we're going to record the show, and his wife is going to play it for him at the hospital when he moves out of ICU, and inshallah, that'll be this week or early next week. So come by and give Brother Jihad a message, you know, wish him well, share a prayer with us, whatever it is that you want to do. That's tomorrow from 8 to 10 on Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., DJ Black Caesar and Friends, our hip-hop comedy show. On Thursday, we're going to do the final series with student minister Stanley Muhammad out of College Park, Georgia, making a happy family life. And on Friday, student minister James Muhammad will be back. We'll put on the new man, our live study group, and of course he's going to be covering part 56 of the time of what must be done. And on Saturday, we'll be back with Young, Gifted, and Black. Don't know what they up to yet, but we'll find out soon. And on Sunday, join us for Brother Reginald with his new show, Theology and Education in the 21st Century. And Monday, what we got, Brother Kareem?
All right. Do not attempt to adjust your radio. There's nothing wrong. We are taking control as to bring you this special show, and we will return it to you as soon as you are grooving. We'll be dealing with Mothership Connection, The Hidden Truth.
Oh, praise
oh, wow.
Be to God.
Okay.
We're going to have some fun next week.
Okay. All right. So please don't forget to call in tomorrow. We ask everybody who's able to give only $5, no more than that, because we know it's Savior's Day. We know people are struggling economically. So those of you who are able to contribute $5 to Brother Jihad and his family, please stop by and do so. And if not, just stop by and give us a prayer, wish him well, send him a message, whatever it is that you can do. All is appreciated, and we look forward to hearing from you. I thank my listening audience for staying with us over time. The chat room is like, Sister Queen, have you forgot what time your show ends? No, I did not. Thank you so much for staying with me, though. Thank you, Sister Barbara, for coming in. And, wow, we cannot thank Dr. Salam enough for blessing us with all of this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Now, Dr. Salam, we got a rule. You can come on here one time, but you can't just come on here one time. So you got
That's
to come
correct.
Back.
I'll be back as much as you allow me to be back.
Yes,
well,
sir.
You got an open invitation. Anytime you're ready, just let me know. Anytime. So thank you, listening audience. May Allah bless us with the light of understanding as we leave you, as we came before you, and our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wow,
good night. Assalamu alaikum.